May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, is Jesus really talking about money? The answer is both yes and no. Yes, Jesus is really talking about money. Because the Bible talks a lot about money, particularly about having money and what we should do with our money, and about warnings of what will happen when we misuse our money. There are more than 2,000 verses in the Bible that have something to do with money. So yes, Jesus is talking about money. Because what we do with our money shows so much of where our focus is, of where our hearts lie, of what our values are. That's why the Bible takes so much time to help us figure out how to use our money wisely and righteously and justly. It's why the Bible gives us instructions about giving the first fruits to God, about the tithe, and how much of the harvest we should devote to works of charity. It's why the Bible takes so much time to help us put in perspective wealth and the power that comes with it, and what role that plays in the kingdom of God. The Bible spends a lot of time, and Jesus spends a lot of time, trying to help us see the ways in which wealth is a blessing, in which it is evidence of our fulfillment of the covenant and the reward for living rightly in the eyes of God, and in the ways in which our misuse of it and our focus on it keeps us out of relationship with God. It is, in fact, the thing that most often sends the prophets to the wealthy and powerful of Israel, as Amos does in our Old Testament passage, to warn them that while they have received great wealth and great power and wonderful things, they are messing things up. And they have not taken that gift of wealth and used it generously to help the poor. They have not used it wisely to create an economy in which everybody has enough. They have not used it in keeping with the covenant that God had made with them. And that if they don't get their act together, there are going to be consequences. All of this is part of the story we have today in the gospel, in which a young man, a wealthy young man, comes running up to Jesus, kneels at his feet, and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He comes up and asks, "What should I do?" And Jesus, yes indeed, talks about money. First, he gives him kind of the boilerplate answer. You know what to do. You've got the law. Obey the Ten Commandments. I suspect Jesus got this question a lot. It sounds like he's got an answer down. Yeah, you know what to do. I've already taught you. The saints have taught you. The prophets have taught you. Indeed, Moses taught you. You guys know how to do this. It's not that complicated. But this time was obviously a little different. Because the young man says, "Oh, yes, teacher, I know the law and I have sought to fulfill it my whole life." So Jesus looks at him and says, "Oh, just one more thing then. Go and sell everything you own and follow me." We can perhaps, being people of many possessions, be forgiven if we hear this call and hear it as a terrible punishment on the young man for having wealth. If we hear this as too difficult a task for anyone to take,
certainly the disciples heard it that way, right?
How could you possibly ask that of anyone, Jesus? That's too much. We hear this and we say, how can anyone be asked to give up all of that? But what if what Jesus is doing is not setting a test so high none of us can meet it, but rather offering an invitation to the young man to do the one thing that his heart most desires? What if this is not a call to sacrifice, but an invitation to the kind of life he's always dreamt of? Because you know it might be. This young man has arrived and knelt before the teacher, and we're told that Jesus loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him and knew him. And then he says, follow me. Chuck it all. Get rid of all of those things that you're carrying around. Come on, follow me. Just do it. It sounds a little far-fetched to us, but we all know people who have sold everything, given up everything they had in order to follow a dream, right? In Mansfield, a couple of years ago, there was a restaurant owner who had started this restaurant and was very, very successful, and he sold it so he could buy a boat and spend a couple of years with his family sailing around the world. He sold everything he had to follow a dream. And you know, most people didn't say, how could anybody ask that of him? They went, oh, I wish I had the courage to do that. I wish I could do that. What if this invitation to the young man is exactly that kind of invitation? Go ahead, give it all up. Give all up all of those things that you've been spending so much time and energy on making you so tired. The status and the parties and the people asking for patronage. Just sell it all and follow me. Well, maybe that's why he goes away grieving. Because here he has been invited to do the one thing he would love to do, and he doesn't quite dare do it. And yes, that's about his money. It's about his money, but it's also about his relationship with his money. It's about where he is placing his trust for the future, and it is about what he is willing to risk for the sake of God. And perhaps that's the thing we really need to hear. Because it's not, as it turns out, only about money that Jesus is speaking. He's speaking about wealth, but he's also speaking about all the things in our lives that keep us from living fully into the kind of life, the kinds of relationships that Jesus offers us. Because what Jesus is offering is not the seven habits of highly successful people. What he's offering is relationship, an opportunity to be with the disciples, to be with him, to enter into a relationship with God that is different from any of the relationships this young man kneeling at his feet has ever had. And it means taking some risks and giving up some security and some certainty to enter into that kind of relationship. And it turns out his possessions stop him. Those things sometimes stop us too. It may indeed be our wealth. There have been a number of studies that have shown that it turns out that the more money you have and the higher your income, the less you're likely to, of that income, you're likely to give to charity. And psychologists tell us that that's probably because the wealthier we are, the more insulated we are from people in need, the less likely we are to know somebody who struggles to put food on the table or gas in the car. And when we don't know anybody like that, it's harder for us to have empathy and compassion. So when people who go in these circles give money, they tend to give it to things like cultural institutions, like art museums and ballet troupes, because they understand that need. And they're less likely to give it to the poor. So money and wealth can indeed be one of the things that keeps us out of authentic relationship with all of God's people. But it is not the only thing. And if we are honest and if we are looking at our lives, we know the ties that bind us, and we know some of them are filled with love and compassion and deepen our relationship, and we know some of them come from seeking security in the wrong places. They come from wanting what is comfortable instead of being challenged to try something different. We know that we are held back sometimes by the things that are good in our lives because we don't have them in right relationship with one another and with God. The rich young man truly was burdened by his possessions. He couldn't give them up in order to follow Jesus. Perhaps he felt too much duty. Perhaps he was too comfortable. Perhaps he was unable to take a risk. But he had that opportunity, and so do we. The question before us, as it was before him, is what stops us from following Jesus? Because if we do not give that up, if we are not willing to let go of those things, then we can't follow any more than a camel can follow through the eye of a needle. And no matter how impossible that may feel, it is not. Because it is not we who do it, but it is God's power and our willingness to trust in God that allows it. So what is it that your heart's desire calls you to today? Who is asking you to follow? And what is it that is stopping you? Amen.